Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Once again, I do want to echo a thank you to all our veterans that have served in the military services so that we can have freedom here in this country. And we do thank you once again. You know, I think it's a tragedy that we treat illegal aliens in America better than we treat the people who have given up their, you know, their rights, and some people who actually have given up their life so that we can have a, you know, freedom here. And so I do want to say, we have noticed, I know Dad was pointing out, said, you know, I can go to a number of different restaurants. I mean, I can eat like 10 times for free tomorrow as a veteran. I know that we saw White River Fish Market down here. It's giving free meals to veterans. I believe there's plenty of places. So if you want to eat free tomorrow, I mean, you know, I realize that the sacrifice that you made probably is, you know, way bigger than a free meal, but at least you get a free meal. Something else that really bothers me is there are some places, you know, like Lowe's, I know, has a parking place for veterans to park. And I saw a guy parked there, which I don't think he was a veteran because I don't even know if he spoke English. But anyway, so kind of bothered me that he's there. But I don't know if he's a veteran or not. You know, it's not like you have to show your ID to park there. So anyway, well, praise the Lord. God's a good God. Amen. We had a wonderful men's conference for all you men who didn't attend. You should have. You still have a whole year to plan to come next year. You know, it is a shame for some of you. It happens to be right here in your home church. And I realize you'll have to take off on a Friday. But what's one day to take off to be here with men for all over the country? You know, it's just an awesome time when men get together. You know, and we did have a great crowd. But it is interesting how many more women show up for the women's conference than the men's conference or whatever. So, amen. Well, so on Monday night I was, obviously that was the day before the election, and I was invited to be on a prayer call with a number of faith leaders all over America. Now, I didn't pray. I was just invited to listen or whatever. And so someone asked me, he said, well, were you one of the people who prayed? And I'm like, no, they said, you should have prayed because I always like it whenever you pray because you always say something like this, you know, devil, you have no right, you have no power, you have no authority in the name of Jesus. And so I started thinking about that, you know, which I do pray like that because I know my authority through the name of Jesus. But then I'm like, you know what? It is interesting, even though we have been, you know, we have Brother Hagin's book, Believer's Authority, been out there for a long time, that I think the reason they said that they like me to pray, they don't realize that they have the same kind of authority that I have. So this morning, I want to talk about using your authority, obviously, from Brother Hagin's book, Believer's Authority, or used to be called the authority of the believer. You know, we should use our authority, and sometimes we forget about the authority that we have been given. Amen. Now, I start probably 90% of my sermons off with one scripture, and that's John 10:10. You know, and the reason I do is because the Lord really, like, well, I guess I want to say a few years ago, it's probably more like 25. Well, actually, it was 20 years ago because I was actually teaching prayer school and healing school. And this is after Brother Hagin had passed away. And the Lord really laid it on my heart that many people, whenever they don't realize that the devil he tries to have power and authority, but we have authority over him. And so when John 10:10, most people, you know, they focus in on having an abundant life, but they forget that Jesus warned us that the devil is there to steal, kill, and destroy. So John 10:10, New King James says this, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The New Living says it this way, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Well, the way that that the Lord fulfills his purpose is that Jesus did come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But, you know, like I said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have been given the authority to come against the devil when he tries to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's the whole thing Jesus was pointing out. I came to give you authority to come against the devil because he is going to try to steal from you. He's going to try to kill you. He's going to try to destroy you. But he doesn't have any power, any right, or any ability because I have given you the power, the right, and ability to come against him. And any power from the enemy that tries to come against you, you have the power to come against that. Now the deal is we don't realize how powerful we are because we're not really powerful. But whenever you realize who's on the inside, you don't become an ordinary man. You're like Clark Kent becoming Superman. All right, you know, the deal is that most Christians, they see themselves as Clark Kent. They don't see themselves as Superman because they're not Superman, but Superman lives on the inside. All right, you know, the greater one lives on the inside. But, of course, we're told here in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, it says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." The New Living says it this way, "But we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Now, the deal is that we're not wrestling against people. Now, you realize that sometimes we see people and we say, well, that person's evil. No, the power behind that person's evil. We're not born as evil people, all right? But what happens is that power behind that person is evil, but we're not coming against that person. We would like to see that person get saved. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities of power. And so we don't realize that the spiritual world is more real than the natural world, but we just don't see the spiritual world. And there's so many demonic oppression, you know, type things. And in fact, it is interesting because I was just in Portland, Oregon the other day, or, you know, the outskirts of Portland, Oregon. And, you know, I don't know. There's probably some other areas of the country, but I do know two areas of the country that my grandfather always pointed out that there are a lot of demonic forces of Portland, Oregon, and San Diego, California. So, you know, he talked about that. And so whenever we were doing crusades in public places like hotel ballrooms and convention centers, he said, you know, it takes a long time to come against and battle those things. Now, when you're in a church, it's different because you have a different atmosphere. But when you're in a public place, and we were doing things in public places, and I remember the one time that my grandfather told me no, which is... I came to his office. I was so excited because I got a call from the San Diego Convention Center. They had just remodeled their convention center, and because they remodeled and they were behind, so they had to cancel a bunch of stuff, but it got done. And so I had talked to him before because I was the crusade director, and at that time we were doing meetings in convention centers and different things. And so they called me from San Diego, said, "We want to make you a really good deal to come to San Diego. We got a brand new, we just remodeled our convention center." So I went bebopping into my grandfather's office and was telling him, you know, how we worked out a really good deal if we want to go to San Diego. And he said, "No, I don't want to go to San Diego." I'm like, "Why not?" And he began to talk about it. Now, it's not that he was afraid of the demons, okay? It says that, you know, he would rather go to a place that you can see, you know, there's a lot of demonic oppression there. It said it takes a while to get over it because these people come to the meetings and they're under, you know, that thing. But you know what? The devil has no power and no right if we know our authority. Now, you know, I've talked about it before, and I've now got six postcards, two letters from the devil. Like we said, we've talked about it. For you that don't know, you know, this was my first one that came from, Well, it's postmarked Denver, Colorado, and it says, "From Hell, Sign Satan, 666. And they're trying to tell me that prideful godliness, sexual perversion, and gross immorality are here to stay. The two millennia of your Christ are finished. The kingdom of darkness rises. Your children will convert to our ways, abandon hope." Anyway, so I've got a bunch of letters, two letters and six postcards. And people always ask me, "I can't believe that you carry that kind of stuff with you. This has like no power." And they're like, you know, I mean, I actually had pastors that said, "Man, if I were you, I wouldn't carry those things around." I mean, they're right here. I have them pretty much 24/7 because I want to talk about how much power the devil doesn't have. And that he's not going to do any of the things he says he's going to do. He's just, you know, putting out some kind of, you know, threat. Now he will if we let him. He will if we let him. And that's the thing about it is, you know, what he was talking about is generality, that if the church doesn't stand up, we're going to see these kind of things overtake our nation. But it's time for the church to stand up and realize that we have the authority over the devil. You know, and the devil is real. Now, I don't believe this came from the devil himself, right? He didn't sit down and write me a letter, you know, because as far as I know, he lives in hell, not Denver, Colorado. Some people might think it's the same place, but I don't know. I mean, I think Denver's kind of nice. I mean, you know, but there is no power in a letter or a postcard. And I don't care how evil some of the postcards that I have look. This happens to be the satanic American flag. I mean, it has a pentagram right here. How much evil can you get? But it has no power. It's a piece of paper. It doesn't hurt me. Can't hurt me. There is no power behind it. Now, if I think it has power, it will have power. If I think it can destroy me, it will destroy me. I can have what I think I can have. I can be what I think I can be. And so, but you know what? We need to realize that we're not fighting against a natural enemy. You know, and you're not fighting against natural enemy. You're fighting against the devil himself. And that's why I will pray. I said, "Devil, you have no right. You have no authority. You have to take your hand, you know, off my finances. You have to take your hand off my body. You cannot attack me in the name of Jesus. I'm healed." The Bible says that by his stripes, I was healed 2,000 years ago. If I was healed 2,000 years ago, I surely am healed now. I know I'm healed. See, I know what belongs to me. But just because I have authority doesn't mean I use my authority. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's one thing to have authority, another thing to use the authority. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 17, says this. First of all, Jesus had sent 70 people out. And he says, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' Then he says," so Jesus talking, "'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all," someone say all, "all the power of the enemy, and nothing," someone say nothing, "nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now that's red letters. That's Jesus speaking, you know, here in Luke, it says, "I give you the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions." Now, he wasn't literally talking about serpents and scorpions, but I guess if you have serpents and scorpions in front of you, you can tread on them. But Jesus was talking about the power of the devil, demons, evil spirits, and all his cohorts. We need to realize that we've got authority over all of them. Over all of them. I mean, you know, and Jesus told that to the first century church. I mean, if they had authority over all, think about how much more that we have, because Jesus Christ died upon the cross, took the stripes on his back, went to hell, defeated Satan, took away the keys, and now is right hand side of the Father. And the Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of you. So, you know, when they went out
because Jesus gave them authority. But when we go out, we have the greater one on the inside. We have the authority on the inside of us. We're not just speaking because we speak. We're speaking with the authority. And the Bible says that we, you know, it says that, that I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So the enemy has no power. But then it also says, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. And that's why it really bothered me, and I'm just going to, you know, say this, and I've said it a million times, so it doesn't really matter. You know, especially when something happened, you know, I get it. We had a world pandemic. We had something called COVID, and people were all afraid of some kind of virus when the Bible clearly says nothing by any means shall hurt us because we have the power over the enemy. Jesus Christ took the stripes on his back. Well, there is no disease or sickness that can hurt us. And of course, I go back to the 91st Psalm, and it, you know, we have that authority. Now, it can, you know, it can hurt us if we don't take our authority against it. Now, that's something else. Is a lot of times we don't take our authority whenever we have, you know, a lot of times whenever we start with a headache, we don't take authority over it. Or maybe our throat's a little itchy, we don't take authority over it. Maybe our nose is a little, we don't take it. We wait till we get full blown. Feeling terrible, and then finally, where someone says, "Hey, McFly," if you don't see Back to the Future, you know, that's Back to the Future, you know, thing. If you didn't, I'm sorry, I forget sometimes that some of you might not even know what Back to the Future is. Didn't that come out in 1985 or something like that? You know, which, you know, I'm sure a lot of you weren't alive in 1985, but you know, that's a thing. So just Google it, you know, but. You know, hey, McFly, you really need to understand that you have the authority. And it doesn't matter. You say, well, everybody else is getting, you know, COVID or everybody. Oh, I'm not everybody else. You know, well, you know, flu season's coming up and everyone else is getting the flu. Well, I better get my flu shot. Well, I don't need a flu shot. Last time I did get a flu shot one time. And the flu tried to attack me more that year than it's ever tried to attack me in the tire. So I'm tired of flu shots. For number one, I don't like needles. You don't have to worry about me being a drug addict. I don't like needles. I'm not going to put no needle in my arm and my leg. And I mean, unless I have to. It's you know, that's just something. It doesn't bother me. You know, so I've had, we've all probably had, but I've, because of different things, I've had to give blood or things, you know, or different things like that. In fact, I'm supposed to give blood every time I can give blood, which is good. We should give blood. But I don't want to watch them. I don't like to look down at my arm whenever the blood's pumping out of my, I will. I mean, you know, I don't like needles. I don't need shots. I got the word. What does the word say? Well, the word says that nothing shall hurt me. Well, nothing is a compound word meaning no thing. All right? So if it's a thing, it has no power or authority over me. It's nothing. Anyway, like I said, the value of our authority, this is Brother Hagin says, this is a believer's authority, rests on the power that is behind the authority. God himself is the power behind our authority. The devil and his forces are obliged to recognize our authority. The believer who thoroughly understands the power of God is backing him, can exercise his authority and face the enemy fearlessly. So you have to understand, whenever you're speaking against the devil, and like I said, I say it all the time, devil, you have no right, you have no authority, and I say, in the name of Jesus, you have to go. Now, the reason he has to go is not because I'm special. It's not because of me. It's because he has to go because I'm exercising my authority through the kingdom of God by Christ Jesus, that I have the authority. And because I have the authority, you have to leave. Not you might leave if I pray hard enough or if I give a big enough offering or whatever, because that's how some people seem in their own mind. Well, if I'm a good enough Christian, if I give a big enough offering, if I pray enough, if I fast and pray, you know, and all these things, you know, and I don't know. I mean, a lot of people, I know, you know, a lot of people, you know, went on a huge fast before the election, you know, and whatever. And funny part about it is I think a lot of people fast that don't even pray. I don't know why, if you're going to fast, that's, you're supposed to, the reason for your fast is you spend your time when you were going to eat praying instead of, you know, being online or whatever you're doing. And the deal is, and it's okay to fast, I guess. I mean, you know, but there's, the power is not in the fast. The power is in the prayer. You know, I think people actually put more emphasis on the fast when they do their prayer. You know, and really, but a lot of times that we're trying to pray for things that we've already been given the authority to speak to. It doesn't say pray that the devil's going to leave us alone. It says speak to him. I mean, you know, and it's the funny part about it is this person, I guess, first of all, they listen to my prayers, which I, you know, didn't think a whole lot of people do. Secondly, they're like, oh, you always pray really good. I'm thinking, I don't even think I really, because I hear these people that have these exquisite prayers and they're really, their English is way better than mine. I'm just like a, you know, just an easy prayer. You know, I just believe that, you know, I'm just simple. You know, that's, well, I guess my grandfather's simple. God says it. I believe that settles it. I know I've been given, I know my authority in the name of Jesus. I know the devil has no right. I know how the devil has no authority. Now here, you know, here in Oklahoma, I mean, how many times do we speak against the weather? I mean, just the other day we had tornado, you know, sirens going off and things like that. And you know, interesting part about it is when tornado sirens go off, I know even Christians that get anxiety. And that's when you have to know the word. The Bible says to be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. And I get it. I mean, there is cause for concern whenever there's a you know, 300-mile wind, you know, barreling toward your house. But the deal is we have been given the authority to speak to the storms. And you say, well, where is that? Well, did you see when Jesus spoke to the storm? He told the storm to calm down. Well, you know what? The Spirit of living God still dwells on the inside of me, so Jesus is still the one speaking to the storm through me. You know, and you say, well, you can't talk to the weather. And see, here's the thing. What really kind of makes me mad, and this, you know, used to happen during Rockets Over Amy, everybody put their faith in my mom's faith. They're like, Mrs. Hagin can speak to the weather, but you can too. And see, that's the thing. A lot of times that we think that there are certain people that are special and have a certain, you know, you think, you know, my mom has the weather anointing. All right? Well, you know, you have the weather anointing too. You just don't use it because you don't think the devil wants to listen to your weather anointing. You don't think that you have the same power and authority that she has. Because, see, the deal is she knows she has authority. You don't. You're hoping you have authority. And if you knew you had authority, you wouldn't have anxiety when you get waking up by some stinking alarm in the middle. I was so mad that the sirens wouldn't go off. Not only the sirens went off, my phone went off twice itself. And, woke me, you know, I couldn't sleep because the stupid sirens in the phone. And everyone's like, well, aren't you concerned? I'm like, well, as soon as the siren went off, I took authority over it, and I'm ready to go back to bed. That's what Jesus did. He wanted to sleep in the back of the boat. It's the middle of the night. It's the middle of the night. I don't want to get... Now, I do remember this, and I don't... It was in elementary school, and I went to school one day. It's elementary school, and everybody in the class was talking about, man, I can't believe this, tornado sirens went off in the middle of the night and things like that. Well, for us, our house, nobody knew it because nobody woke me up and I didn't wake up. And I'm surprised Dad didn't wake up. Maybe he did wake up and took authority over it. I don't know, but I had no clue the tornado sirens even went off. Thank God we didn't have cell phones to go off and maybe they weren't as loud back then. I don't know. I mean, the other night it was irritating for me. I'm not sure about you. Maybe you guys were having anxiety. I mean, there was a number of people that were hiding in their closet. And I understand, you know, being cautious or whatever, but you know, this is me. Maybe it's not you. I mean, but this is me. Like, there was a number of years ago, there was a tornado, and so my stepdaughter, she wanted to go in the closet first because our pantry actually, she's got in the pantry. The great thing about being in the pantry, I guess you have plenty of food, so that's a good thing. Except for, I mean, I found some beans in my pantry. It's like 5 years old, so I'm not sure I want to eat some of the food that's been in there for a while. Sometimes it's a good time to clean your pantry out. So she went in the pantry. My wife was thinking about going to the pantry and said, well, Craig, this is the middle of the night. Once again, these middle of the night tornadoes really bother me more than anything else. Said, are you going to take cover? Travis Myers telling everyone to take cover. Travis is a good guy. I like Travis. He's one of my friends, but I don't care. I ain't taking cover. I said, now here's the thing. I'm staying in this bed. And if I need to take cover, if the Lord wants me to take cover, he'll tell me to take cover. He'll prepare me for that I need to take cover. And so until he tells me I'm not taking cover, I'm going to go back to bed. He said, well, that's stupidity. Well, no, that's knowing my authority, knowing that, you know what, by no means is going to hurt me. It's not going to hurt me. It's, you know, I'm not afraid of that. Now, you know, the thing about it is when we start getting afraid, that's when it overtakes us. Anyway, the value of our authority, my grandfather says this, rests on the power that's behind the authority. God himself is the power behind our authority. The devil and his forces are obliged to recognize our authority. The believer thoroughly understands that the power of God is backing him, can exercise his authority and face the enemy fearlessly. Now, he says this, what is authority? Authority is delegated power. All right, delegated power. And he uses the example of a policeman that, you know, during rush hour traffic will just raise his hands and cars stop. Now, they're not stopping because this policeman physically has the power to stop a car. I mean, even semi-trucks stop when a policeman raises his hand. Now, why do they stop? Because, you know, they could just barrel over the guy. I mean, you know, whatever. They stop because that policeman has been given the authority by the city of Broken Arrow or the city of Tulsa or wherever you might be or the state to stop traffic with his hands. And in fact, whenever we leave here, you know, George will be out there. He just turns on the signal light and makes it green. But before the signal light was, he would direct traffic and, you know, and he has the power to do that. Well, you know, why? Because he has the authority of the city of Broken Arrow to hold up his hands and you have to stop. Well, I mean, if you don't stop, you are going to spend some time in a jail cell, all right? I just want to let you know. I mean, you know, I guess you don't have to, but you're going to because the consequences are way greater than putting on the brakes, all right? So, you know, the deal is that people, you know, recognize that authority. But praise God, there is authority that's been given us by Jesus Christ. We have the authority, we have the delegated power to be able to come against all the spoils of the enemy. And whenever he's trying to steal from us, when he's trying to kill us, when he's trying to destroy us, we say, devil, you have no right and you have no authority. In the name of Jesus, you have to leave me alone. And the reason he has to leave you alone is not because you're still like Clark Kent. But whenever you speak like Superman. You might look like Clark Kent, but the devil hears Superman speaking. He doesn't hear you. He hears the authority behind you. You know, it's just like, you know, we did honor the veterans. You realize that when those veterans, when those servicemen, when they go out with the full authority of the United States government. And depending on where you are, you're given a command, and the command is not a suggestion. And they'll tell you in the military, it's definitely not a suggestion. Whenever you're told to do something, you either do it, or you're going to go to Fort Leavenworth or something like that. You do what you're told. There is no your way, like Dad talked about. It's the Army way. So you do what you're told, but you have been given the authority, and you hold commands, you hold paper saying I've been given the authority by the United States government to do that. It's just when someone comes and arrests somebody, they're not arresting them because they have the power to do it. They're arresting them because they have the papers to do it. They have been given the authority. Same way, we as ministers, whenever we perform a wedding, at the end of the wedding, when we pronounce them husband and wife, we say by the authority of the state of Oklahoma and by the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have been given both natural authority through our licensing with the state and spiritual authority through Jesus Christ. So we have been given authority to pronounce them husband and wife. That's the authority we've been given, both from the state and from the Father. You have been given authority, and all you have to do is use the authority that you have been given. You have to understand that you can walk on serpents and scorpions, that there is no devil in hell that can overtake you. And it's not because you're special, it's because you have something special on the inside. Paul told us in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not the power of your might, but the power of his might. It's his power that's on the inside of you. It's the power of his might. And see, the devil, he doesn't recognize you. He recognizes, he recognizes the God on the inside of you. Whenever you speak as God speaks. Which is one of my favorite scripture, or the scripture that I'll sign your Bible, have faith in God. When I speak, I'm speaking the God kind of faith. I'm speaking, I'm speaking just like God speaks. I haven't given that authority. In fact, many of you probably have heard the story where my grandfather talks about what one time when the Lord was appeared to him. And speaking to him, there was a demonic creature that kept on saying yakety yak, and he couldn't hear Jesus speaking. And finally, he said he kept on waiting for Jesus to do something about it, and he didn't. Finally, my grandfather says, in the name of Jesus, you got to leave. And he left. And Jesus says, if you wouldn't have done anything, I couldn't have. He said, no, you mean you wouldn't have. No, I couldn't have, because you have been given. I gave you that authority. See, on this earth, we have been given the authority. We have the delegated power to speak to the enemy. We have that power. We have that authority. We have that ability. And, it's not just given to a few chosen people. It's given to everybody. Everyone. You have the authority. It says this, my grandfather, we're running out of time. We're probably have to have part two on this thing. But we have been given all authority and all power. Now, the Bible says, like I said, Ephesians 6:10, he says, find my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So that means that you can step out in front of the devil, just like the policeman does, and hold up your hand and tell him, that he can't come any closer. He has no right. He has no authority, because we read earlier that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and rulers from on high, Ephesians 6:12. Thank God that, this is my grandfather says, thank God that we have the authority over such evil spirits through Jesus Christ. We need to understand what Paul said here in the light of what he wrote in previous chapters. We need to realize that we have the authority through Christ. Our combat with the devil should always be with the consciousness that we have the authority over him, because he is a defeated foe. The Lord Jesus Christ defeated him 2,000 years ago. However, the authority of the believer favor is an aspect of the Christian walk that few believers know much about. Some think that the authority over the devil belongs only to a few chosen people to whom God has given special power. It doesn't. It belongs to all the children of God. It belongs to all of us. That's the reason the book was written, to understand that it's not just the pastors that have the authority over the devil. It's not just ministers that have the authority over the devil, but we've all been given authority over the devil. And the devil does have no right, and the devil has no authority. But the devil, Brother Hagin says this, he says, the devil doesn't want Christians to learn that the authority about the authority of the believer. He wants to continue to defeat us anytime he wants. That's why he will do everything he can to keep Christians from learning the truth about authority. He will fight us more on this subject than anything else. He knows that when we learn the truth, that his heyday will be over. We will dominate him, enjoying the authority that is rightfully ours. And he reads Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. And he says this, that means every spiritual blessing there is in Christ. All spiritual blessings belong to us. Authority belongs to us, whether we realize it or not. But just knowing this isn't enough. It's knowledge acted upon that brings results. It's a tragedy for Christians to go through life and never find out what belongs to them. See, we have been given that authority, but if we don't exercise that authority, it does us no good. It does us no good. The devil can still beat us up, even though we have authority over him. Now we all know this scripture, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers, by your brotherhood in the world. You know, the devil is trying to walk around. The Bible says, seeking who he may devour. Now, the reason he says that is because the devil knows he has no authority to devour you. But he's seeking to those that don't know their authority, because he can devour them, because they have no clue that they have the authority in the name of Jesus to come against him. Now, you realize that 1 Peter 5:8 was after 1 Peter 5:7. You realize that? If you don't, you should understand mathematics 7, 8, 9. All right. But 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So in essence right here, Peter is trying to tell us that whenever we give the Lord our cares, and we shouldn't be caring for those cares anymore, because the Lord now has them, you know. And so when you give the Lord your cares, he's now caring for them. So you're carefree, or you're careless. You're not carrying those cares anymore. It's like a hot potato. You just get them all. You give it to the Lord. He cares for your cares. But what happens is, that's when he says, but your adversary, the devil's, you know, is going to be seeking like a roaring. The devil's going to try to lie to you and tell you, well, God's not going to take those cares. God's not going to do anything. But he's going to try to lie to you. But that's when Peter says, that's when you have to tell the devil, you got to shut up. I don't care what you say, Mr. Devil. You don't have any authority to tell me nothing. Or no thing. There's nothing you can say, that is, because I gave my cares to the Lord. And so because the devil's going to try to give those cares back to you. And here's the thing. If you've given your cares to the Lord and you can't sleep at night because you're worried about those cares, then you hadn't given them to the Lord. What that is, that's the adversary, that's the devil trying to bring those cares back to you. So what you need to do is say, Mr. Devil, I've already given those cares to the Lord, so you have no right and you have no authority to try to give them back to me, so you must leave in the name of Jesus. It says, resist the devil, not let him come on in. All right, so the devil will try to bring those cares back. But we just need to hold our hand up and say, no, Mr. Devil, you have no right. You have no authority. You have to stop, because I've been given the authority. The Bible says resist. Resist is like push back. Push back. That's why I speak those words. That's why I tell the devil he has no right. Why? Because you know, I haven't been given that authority. All right, you know, like I said. Now, here's what we need to understand. Ephesians 6:10 says this, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Not the power of your might. The power of his might. And so, you know, my grandfather says this. Many people read that verse and they think the Lord is telling them to be strong in themselves. The Bible's not telling you to be strong in themselves. It says, but the scripture doesn't say a word about being strong in yourself. It says, be strong in the Lord. I don't know, you know, when people say, I don't know whether I can make it or not. Well, certainly you can make it. You know, don't even, you know, they don't even think about being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. They're trying to think about, well, how do I be strong? See, people need to understand, you know, Mark 11, you know, 23 talks about speaking to the mountain, but you're speaking as God speaks, not as you. You can't move a mountain. God can. All right. Now, here's the thing. When you're speaking to Satan, I mean, Satan's already been defeated. In fact, we sing song. He's already been defeated. He's already been defeated. And here's the thing. Christians, we all know he's been defeated. But some of us, we act like that we don't know. Or actions speak louder than words sometimes. Amen. The last scripture I'm going to leave you off with, and like I said, we're not going to finish the whole believer's authority today, was 1 John 4:4. It says this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So who is the one who's in the world? That's Satan. Satan is the god of this world and the head of all the principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world. But the power that is in you is greater than the power that's in the world, because the power that backs your authority is greater than the power that backs his authority. We need to understand, because that's why I like to read from the New Living. It says this, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. When you're facing a battle, you have to realize you won that battle 2,000 years ago. You won that battle 2,000 years ago. You might not feel like you're winning today, but you've already won the battle 2,000 years ago, and the greater one lives on the inside of you, and you can speak to any kind of storm, any kind of devil, any kind of demon. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. You have been given that authority. The authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. You have to understand, we as Christians need to understand our authority. And that's what my grandfather says. If we could ever get that, man, that book has been out for a long time. And in fact, it hovers around the 50th bestseller of Christian books almost every month. So many people have read that book, but you know what's the sad part about it? We've read that book, but we still don't understand it. You know, it's, well, yeah, I understand. Here's the problem. We do understand. We just don't take our authority. Most of us, we know we have been given authority. A lot of us, you know, we know the word, but we don't exercise it. It's because what happens is when the devil tries to overtake us, we can't see God. All we see is the issues, the problems, the circumstances, the financial difficulties, the physical difficulties or whatever. And because those things are pounding us in the face, we forget to start looking to the inside. The greater one's on the inside, and we've already won a victory 2,000 years ago, and we have the authority in the name of Jesus to be able to speak against the enemy any point in time. He has no power. He has no authority. And it's not just me that can pray that prayer, but it's every one of us that can pray that prayer. And so it kind of actually bothered me when this person said, well, I like it whenever you pray because you do this. Well, why don't everybody else do that? Why don't everybody else do that? Because I did pray for the selection that the devil would not raise his ugly hand, and that we would have a free and fair election, and that's what I prayed for. I always pray, the devil, you have no right. You have no authority, because I understand that he doesn't have any right. He doesn't have any authority. All things are under his feet by Christ Jesus. Jesus said all things are under his feet. And we've been given that authority, and we need to use that authority. Amen? So I want to encourage you to get a hold of the Believer's Authority, read the book, get the MP3 or whatever. We have a book, we have a video, we have all kinds of things. In fact, And some of you that don't want to buy anything, just go to YouTube, Brother Hagin's YouTube channel. You can watch it on YouTube. But if you want to buy something, we have it out in the bookstore. But anyway, you know, we need to remember our authority. We need to remember, and I shouldn't be the only one that prays that way. Now, I know I'm not the only one that prays that way, but we should all pray that way. You know, and actually, the other day, I actually had somebody, you know, like, they wanted me to pray because they thought I had more authority than they did. You know, the first thing I did, I actually did pray. But the first thing I did is says, you know, I actually read the scripture, Luke 10:19, says, you have been given the authority too. I'm not the only one that has this authority. And, you know, this person knows about this. And you know, but sometimes, even though we know, we forget. Or we think, well, you know, sometimes people think, well, your prayers are better than my prayers. No, they're not. It's just, you know, I just know my authority. And you need to know yours. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. Father God, we just thank you that we'll understand our authority. That anytime the devil tries to attack us in any kind of situation, help us to remember what the Word of God says. Help us to remember that we have authority and that we have already won. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And the devil has no right. The devil has no authority. And in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Father, right now, that these people will not only remember that today, but they'll remember that when they're going through some of the toughest times in their life. They'll remember that they have the authority to speak against all the power from Satan. And understand that it's not natural. Natural strength is coming against them, but it's principalities, powers from rulers on from high. Father God, we just thank you right now to help us always be able to exercise our authority each and every time. But now with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, so I don't have that authority to speak to demons and devils. If that's you and you say, Craig, I've never been saved, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I want you to lift your hand right now across this auditorium, and I want to make sure you don't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. Or maybe here tonight or this morning and you say, Craig, I don't know whether I've ever been saved or not. I've never publicly asked the Lord to come into my life. If you have never had what my grandfather calls a know-so experience, well, this morning you can know so. Or maybe here this morning you say, so Craig, at one time I walked with the Lord, but I've turned my back and I've went away, and I want to publicly this morning come and rededicate my life to God. If that's you on any invitation, just lift your hand across this auditorium. If you're here today and you want to be saved, or you want to have that know-so experience, or you want to rededicate yourself to the Lord, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you right now in the name of Jesus that we thank you for laborers coming across their path. And if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice, whether they're here or whether they're watching online, we thank you, Father, that they will be saved and the laborers will come across their path in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.